If you think I'm going to exaggerate the significance of 2015, you should think about this. The top story of 2014 was the Ice Bucket Challenge.
One, two, three!
Yep, you had forgotten all about that. Sitka's 2015 will be memorable because our biggest stories were clustered together in a year that was already sprinkled with interesting news stories, like the state's closing all its parks here, its goal line stand against an invasive marine species called Devex, or the school district outsourcing community schools. The big news began on Monday, August 17th, when the electric department notified media that 30,000 gallons of diesel fuel had leaked from a storage tank at the Jarvis Street generator plant. Much of it had been recovered in a concrete containment structure designed for just this emergency. But an unknown amount, possibly as much as 7,000 gallons, had drained into a storm sewer that emptied into Jamestown Bay. The state and city set up an incident command center to manage the situation, which would prove to be provident. The very next morning, Tuesday, August 18th, a sopping wet storm system dropped down the outer coast and soaked Sitka with as much as 5 inches of rain in under 6 hours. The deluge triggered 7 landslides on the Sitka Road system, one of them sweeping through a new development on Kramer Avenue, destroying a house and killing 2 workers inside, the brothers Elmer and Ulysses Diaz, aged 24 and 25, and also taking the life of 62-year-old William Stortz, Sitka's building official. Municipal engineer David Longton and an excavator operator, Jerome Mahusky, escaped. Longton said they had very little time to react.
We heard a rumbling. It didn't immediately dawn on us what it was. We looked at each other with puzzled expressions, and then we looked up the hill and we saw these 200-foot trees falling like dominoes, boom, 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 one after another.
The next day, Governor Bill Walker flew to Sitka to personally assess the scene.
So I've been governor about 9 months now. I've prided myself by saying I've never had a bad day. Well, I can't say that anymore. This is a really tough day.
And it would get tougher. Volunteers flooded the fire hall with offers of assistance, but the threat of more rain forced officials to keep most everyone off the slope, and it soon became clear that there would be no rescue. Grace Harbor Church transformed into a 24-hour care center for recovery workers, for families evacuated from the surrounding neighborhoods. Working in shifts, coaches and friends from their former high school baseball team found the bodies of Elmer and Ulysses about 3 days after the slide. William's body was finally found a week after, on August 25th. Seattle Fire Battalion Chief Thomas Richardson flew to Sitka to advise. His department had managed the slide in Oso, Washington in March 2014, which claimed 43 lives.
Yeah, it's very similar. In fact, it's deja vu.
Then came the video. Over Halloween weekend, a Sitka middle school teacher, Alexander Allison, posted a pair of videos on social media. One of his own arrest as a bystander watching a DUI investigation, and a second showing then 18-year-old Franklin Hugendorn, a Mount Edgecombe High School student, being taken into custody by Sitka police and being tasered multiple times as 3 officers subdued him in the local jail. The Hugendorn video went viral. Police Chief Sheldon Schmidt says the video only told part of the story.
What you're seeing on the video is a culmination of a longer contact.
Schmidt maintains that Hugendorn was resisting since the moment officers confronted him earlier in the evening outside a Sitka bar, and that the use of the taser conformed to police policies in place at the time of the arrest in September 2014. Since the video went public, Hugendorn has obtained legal counsel. His attorney, Myron Angstman, says the video tells its own story.
It doesn't really matter what I think the tape says, or what you think the tape says, or what the police chief thinks the tape says, or what the city manager thinks the tape says, because the jury has the final decision as to what that tape says.
The conduct of the Sitka police officers is being reviewed by the FBI. The Sitka tribe sent a letter formally asking the Bureau to investigate possible racial bias in Sitka's police department. At the request of media, Sitka released its police operating procedures manual, but the 342-page document doesn't spell out guidelines for use of a taser. Top officers in the department held a town hall meeting with tribal citizens to discuss concerns and ease tensions, but could not directly address the Hoogendoorn incident since it appears headed to court. The rest of the news in 2015 was lighter, but no less important. For example, the CEO of Sitka Community Hospital bolted. Well, technically, Jeff Comer skipped town in 2014, but the news became public when he failed to show up for a meeting with the assembly on January 2nd. Comer had been working in Sitka for less than 3 months. His abrupt departure, paired with a bizarre story of being attacked by an unidentified couple on a Sitka trail, left people more amused than worried. Municipal attorney Robin Kocek assured the hospital board that Comer would not be coming back.
And I think he's gone. Yeah. Elvis left the building.
Sitka businessman Rob Allen later took the job of CEO, stabilizing the hospital's finances and possibly restoring sanity. Sitka wrapped up the largest public works project in its history in 2015, the $157 million Blue Lake Hydro expansion. Electrical Department engineer Dean Orbison was boosterish about the project for the 2 years it took to raise the dam and build a new powerhouse. He didn't seem too upset to take off his hard hat once and for all.
Working together with this team is by far the pinnacle of my career, which ends today.
Another significant departure this year was John Strales. The former Writer Laureate of Alaska retired from a three-decade career as a criminal investigator, most recently for the Public Defender's Office in Sitka. Straley drew on his work experience to write 9 novels, which he says had far more moral certainty than real life.
Reality is always so much more complicated, and there's always so much more of a gray area. And in stories, you always make it work out faster.
As if to illustrate Straley's point, the family of Lael Grant in June asked the state to issue her death certificate. The 33-year-old mother of two went missing in 2012 with no ID in her possession and no other means to travel off-island. Her sister, Erica Burkhouse, believed Grant's disappearance was connected to her involvement with Sitka's drug culture. She didn't want to give up hope, but the family needed to move on.
Despite what was happening in her unhealthy lifestyle, she still that somehow was a good mom.
The state ruled Grant's death a likely homicide. The case remains open and unsolved. And life also made headlines in 2015. Early in the morning on June 10th, the 80-foot fishing tender Kuprinov began taking on water offshore of Lutuya Bay. An Air Station Sitka helicopter arrived on scene and found the Kuprinov about half submerged in rough seas with 4 men on board. The helicopter commander, Chris Stokler, asked the crew to get in their life raft, but the Kuprinov radioed back with a problem.
I've got one man that's pretty old and can't swim.
A rescue swimmer was lowered to assist all 4 men into the raft, and all were safely hoisted to the helicopter just as the Kuprinov slipped under the waves. There is a video of this rescue available online that is more real than any reality television you'll ever see, though it plays like another day at the office for the cool heads flying the helicopter. Sitka hosted 2 major fisheries meetings this year, the State Board of Fisheries and the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council. The meetings were filled with intense issues, but none more so than the council's deliberations over wasted halibut or bycatch. The stakes are enormous for small boat fishermen in the villages of western Alaska. Member Duncan Fields was aggrieved when the rest of the council adopted bycatch limits favoring larger commercial interests.
I acknowledge on a personal basis my identity with the folks living in western Alaska and their loss of economic opportunity, personal identity, and cultural legacy. I get it.
Cultural legacy came into play in other news stories as well. This fall, Sitka's Orthodox Cemetery was struck by 3 separate episodes of vandalism, where numerous headstones were tipped over. Bob Sam is the caretaker of the 200-year-old cemetery, which holds the remains of mostly Alaska natives.
When you're washing a headstone, it's no different than washing somebody's feet. And you experience a kind of humility.
Sam was nearing despair over the repeated vandalism, but help from the police department and cadets at the Sitka Trooper Academy helped restore his faith. After each incident, law enforcement personnel returned to the cemetery to raise the stones, some weighing hundreds of pounds. Sitka police later caught the culprits, a group of 8 to 10-year-old children. Another cultural rift was mended when the Alaska Day Committee was called out on its use of the name Slave Auction for an annual fundraiser at the Pioneer Bar. Pressure to drop the name came from the NAACP in Anchorage in a press release issued on Alaska Day. In the auction, business owners agreed to provide a service to a high bidder. Event organizers felt that the otherwise benign 31-year-old event had been unfairly targeted. This is Mary Magnuson.
This controversy, frankly, offends me a little bit, that people that know nothing about my community are pointing fingers and acting like we're racist.
The Sitka tribe endorsed the NAACP's position, saying Slave Auction was insensitive. The committee changed the name to Alaska Day Auction and suggested that they would have welcomed a phone call from the NAACP rather than a limelight. There is cultural rift, and then there's just culture. On December 17th, in Sitka and just about everywhere, fans flocked to the premiere of Episode 7 of Star Wars. The intergalactic odyssey proved intergenerational as parents stood in a line reaching toward St. Michael's Cathedral to watch a film series with their children that they first saw as children themselves.
This is probably the most important night in my life since I was 5 years old on Christmas Eve and watched Star Wars for the first time.
And afterwards, on that evening and many others, Sitkins would get in their cars to drive to the corner of Kimsham and Wachusett Streets to the home of Mike Romine, a Christmas light enthusiast and, for 1 month at least, probably Sitka's best electrical customer. Romine's show has evolved over the past decade into something worthy of Vegas, but it isn't heavy-handed. As programmed lights climb a tower, they merge to form the words August 18th, Elmer, Ulysses, and Bill, the three Sitkins who perished in the landslide.
I just knew that there was a lot of people that affected. I mean, that Sitka really came together. It was a pretty big deal. And so, you know, I thought just showing that, you know, I was thinking of them, you know, it probably means that most of Sitka probably is too. And I think the families have appreciated it.
And it's been gestures like Mike Romine's, large and small, bright and not so visible, too many to count, really, that turn a difficult year into a good one. Let's meet again in 2016. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
We've come a long way from where we began. Oh, I'll tell you